today is going to be, hopefully, a little bit different than what we're used to. Instead of talking about what we do out there, which I think we typically do, we're going to talk a little bit more about what we do in here, and specifically with the lives of those in this room today and within Family Bible Church. So I think every person in this room certainly has a story to tell, right? And we're all in our own book. We're all in our own chapter right now. Some of these chapters right now that we're in may be a little bit more Dr. Seuss. Some are maybe a little bit more Stephen King right now. Some of us might be in the most critical chapter of our life book right now, today. When you think back, deathbed, or just, you know, in old age, as you're at the end, that you can think of, man, here's that one moment in my life that the most important, the most critical might be going on right now. Whether you choose to do something, you choose not to do something, something big might be happening right now. And it might not be you, it might be the person sitting next to you, it might not be people that are even here today, but there's some big things going on. Some buzzwords I can think of: divorce, suicide, alcoholism, pornography. There's some big stuff that we can deal with in our lives and that can really take us down a completely different path. So I wanted to start today. Hopefully you're sitting by somebody that you're comfortable with, because it's about to get awkward. I want you to do this for me. I want you to look at the person that's sitting right next to you, and I want you to look them in the eyes. All right. Do that until it gets awkward, which you're probably already there. All right. Now, for real, I want you to think about that person, because I think that the eyes that you're looking into, or maybe that you glanced at for half a second, I think that person is probably willing to go an extra mile for you. And I mean that in all seriousness. Not just because you're probably sitting with your loved one or your spouse or maybe your other family member, but maybe you're next to somebody who you've gone to church with for a while. Maybe you're next to somebody that you've gone to church with for a week. And we've got some pretty cool people in this room. So I want to do a little classroom participation, and I'm going to throw out some names, and if you are inclined to say something about that person, I'd like you to do so. Okay? So I'm going to try this out with Lori Stoker. Yeah, exactly. Lori Stoker. What can we say about Lori Stoker? Serving. Holy cow. That's real easy. She's here all the time. She serves at everything. What about Earl Stoker? Serving. Yeah, you're right. Oh, man. Two of the nicest people ever. Let's go with Darlene. Darlene Johnson. Who knows Darlene? Lovable? Thank you. All right. Drew Camp. Strongly silent. Ryan Kramer. Not silent. Ryan Kramer. Strongly not silent. Helpful. Fantastic. Bill Dempsey. Helpful? Is that what I heard? Okay. Shepherd. Chris Dempsey. What is it? Chris Dempsey beard? Oh, Bill, we're going back to Bill with the beard. Okay. Did I hear patient? Patient? Stephanie Kramer. Fun. Tough. Mike Dumsdorf. Fun? That's all we can say about Mike. There's way more. Serving. Disciple. Relational. I like it. He'll be there if you need him. Let's go Jean Pacman. She's covering her eyes. Thoughtful. Kristen Wagner. Energetic. Sweet. Donna and Rich Flag. Holy, when they're not in the room, you can all say something. That's awesome. There's a whole bunch about them. There's so many people in this church. There's people that don't go to this church anymore. Carrie and Corey Adolph, the Adolph family, the Drazens. The Hampshires aren't here today. There's so many people. There's people in the back. Just think about the people within this church. We have an awesome church. We have a small church, but we have an awesome church. But I think that we can grow together. So a perfect example that I wanted to bring up is what happened last week. Steve Hampsh. I thought it was really cool that he was involving everybody. I loved that, how he was having people read. He had it pre-planned, and it didn't work out. Who did he have planned? He had Sarah Beth was planned. You let him down. You did. But you know what? You know what happened? Linda took care of it, which is his wife. But somebody took care of it. Somebody always steps up. And it was awesome. And everybody, a part of this church, was a part of the message last week. Perfect example of that, because I want to bring up today, and we've kind of been going over this in spurts over the last couple of weeks, but the verse I want to start off with today is and hopefully you guys have heard of this one, Proverbs 27:17. I don't have any slides up, and neither does Lincoln, but 27:17, Proverbs says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So let me go back to the people in our church. Who are our iron sharpeners? We probably have a ton of them, but when you think iron sharpeners, what's the first name that comes to your head? Who? Lance. Yeah, he's on my sheet too. Who else? Linda Hampsh. Anybody else? Bill Dempsey. Yep. Steve Hampsh. Lori. I got Lincoln on my sheet too. There's some people that whenever you talk to them, it's not like talking to the person at the bank or somebody at McDonald's. These conversations come up and it always somehow relates back to God. And man, does that sharpen you up. I feel like it does. We come to church and we sit here for an hour and maybe we listen to Bill. And then some people, maybe, I don't know, go out and that's it. That's your 1 hour for the week of however many hours there are in a week. But then other people kind of help spread that out in the real world. Awesome. John 14, I'm going to have somebody read this for me. John 14:5-7. I'll take the first volunteer if you can help me out. 14:5-7, please. All right, Mike.
Thomas said to him, Lord, don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Perfect. So Thomas, the disciples are with Jesus, and Thomas asks Jesus, how should we know the way when we don't even know where he's taking us? And Jesus says what? He says, I'm the way. I am the way. He will take us to the Father. And sometimes I think we might forget that. We look for answers elsewhere, maybe from ourselves. But I think that's that place where maybe you're not looking at Jesus, and maybe somebody else is not looking at Jesus, and either you can go to someone else who is an iron sharpener, and maybe they can help us get back to finding Jesus. Or, vice versa, you can be the iron that sharpens others by bringing them, pointing them to Jesus. Example of that is, many of us have been praying for a long time for Marissa Raitz, who is back now, not back here, but back in the States, for 16 months or so. She was in Kenya, Africa, and periodically, I mean, I probably once every other month, I would just get a random text from her. And you would think the text message would be, hey, Chris, I miss you. How are you doing? What's it like back in the States? The text was almost always, how can I be praying for you today? Somebody literally halfway across the world asking that. And I feel like that's who we should be as a group, as a church, helping each other out. So with that, I want you guys to really hear this. Teamwork divides the task, but it multiplies the success. Right? Teamwork divides the tasks, but it multiplies the success.
Thank you. Just, can everyone hear me okay? Okay. So I'm actually going to start off with reading the passage. If you have one of the church Bibles, it's going to be on page 799, and then the last part is on 800. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start off verses 12, and we're going to go all the way through verses 27. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So as we go into this sermon, I'm going to take a chance just to pray, so if you'll bow your heads with me. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would be with us all today, that you would speak through me, that any wisdom that there is to be gleaned in this service would not come from me, but from you, Lord, and that we would all just take a chance to see how glorious you are and how you can use each of us as part of your team. Amen. All right, now I got to find my spot again. There we are. So as I look at this, I think God has used a wonderful analogy of saying that we are all part of a body. And that looking at all the various different parts, there's so many unique facets to what make us up as individuals, and that is further propagated out into the world. You know, everywhere you look, you see people are part of teams, whether it's in grade school working on a project, when you're at work also working on big projects, and especially in sports, teamwork is a huge aspect. And over the past weekends, I've really enjoyed being able to watch football again. It's been a couple years since I've played, but just seeing all the different roles that everyone takes on the football team. You have your quarterbacks, the guys who orchestrate all the movements. You've got the linemen who their only job is to sell out and make sure that the quarterback doesn't get touched. Running backs and receivers who make plays by either catching or taking the ball and running with it. All of them are specialized for their unique role, and if the team was made up of just them, it would fail. And if we look at the same side on the body, we have the skin that covers everything up. Your hands are able to grasp and hold things. Your eyes are able to take in so much. Ears and nose are able to hear and smell things that normally, if we didn't have them, wouldn't be a part of it. And that's kind of that first part, the verses 12 through 14. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And so kind of the highlight for that is that teams are composed of unique people. And that is exactly what the church is. We're composed of everyone unique. They all have different backgrounds. And yet they've all come together to form one body in Christ. Next part down. If you think about teams, they're interdependent. They all rely on each other. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, and for that reason it would not stop being part of the body, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. So you're going to kind of have fun with that, and if you were to go out and think, would I rather be blind or deaf? Neither option sounds very good, but that's kind of the way it is. If you were to lose one, the whole experience that you have is lessened. Another way you can look at it is if I had to live without knees or elbows, very small things, but if you take them away, it's going to dramatically change your life. Take that down and then you look at a team. For the quarterback, who usually gets most of the glory, if you take away his linemen, now he's unprotected. If you look in the body, when small organs like the gallbladder stops working, now you're in a lot of pain. All the parts work together. They rely on each other. Something that's kind of unique is your sense of taste. 75% of that is actually reliant on smell. So if you were to lose your nose, now all of the things that you love and enjoy to eat, they don't taste as good. So all these parts rely on each other, and that's the exact same way that the church is. We all rely on the different roles. We've got, you know, me up here. You wouldn't be able to hear me if I didn't have the soundboard. All of us are able to be in here and listen to myself today and Bill every other weekend because we have those in the back that are handling the kids. That role, it's not in the light, but we're so appreciative for it because it makes everything work better together. And so then if we go down to verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So for me, those jobs that are not in the light, I think really deserve a special role and a special thank you. And that even goes for everyone that is in the pews or chairs. it's not a role that we think, oh, I'm not a big part of the church. I'm just here to listen and kind of be there. But that is a huge role. You're able to do so much more than just take up a seat, because you can speak into those roles by giving encouragement and saying how much they mean to you. And that just goes so much further for them that are in that job. So if you look at the connection card, we have this funny little math problem up there, that 1 plus 1 equals 3, which we all should have learned in kindergarten is not the case, but that is the amazing thing that God and teamwork can bring about. It's this idea known as synergy, which is the back, the synergizer bunny. You're able to do so much more together than you would just by yourself. And that actually, by coming together, total is greater than the sum of the parts. So us all being as one team in Christ and church, we are able to do so much more than we would if we were to study on our own. I think a big side of that is in singing during the worship. If we just were to have the band up here and play the song, that would be a wonderful way to worship God, and we could all stand up, we'd be there. But when we lend our voice to the singing, it becomes that much more than just a song. That act of worship is amplified more than just what we're able to add to it. That's something that I really take to heart. My wife can attest that I am not a good singer, but during church, I'm always sure that I'm singing along with. Even though musically I might be tone deaf, I still add something. Even if it's not for my own benefit, my hope is that someone may hear me and see, if even he's willing to sing, so can I. And so that really takes into value that on the team, everybody is equal in value. We're all necessary, even though we might have different roles. And with that, our roles will change over time. They're fluid. When I first came to Family Bible Church, I was just a college student making the trip, and now I've found myself up here. For me, I used to be just dating Darlene. Now I'm her husband, and a few months from now, that role will change again, and I'll have to be a father. Yeah? So, and we've found people in the worship band didn't used to be up here, but that's what we've needed is them, and they've stepped up, and just that change in roles is such a wonderful way to grow in Christ. And even in the church, in our church, our role has kind of changed. From when I first came here, there were lots of college students making the trip out from Greenville, and we had plenty of them, and now there has been a church that has opened up in there that's much easier for them to go to. And that is a wonderful role change for them. You know, in the last part of that passage, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So with that church in Greenville, you know, we shouldn't be sad that all the college students aren't coming here anymore, because they are going to church and they're going to one there. And we're all on the same team in Christ. We're all happy that they're going there. That's why at any of the conferences, when someone becomes a Christian, there's a great shout. Everyone is excited that they have joined the team. And that is how it is, should always be. We're working together so that we can all succeed in Christ. And the church is meant to help and encourage and strengthen those relationships with each other and with God. So just to put a little plug in for the 365 program, it's wonderful to read the Bible on your own, but since we're doing this together, you've now got all of these other members that are taking that same journey with you. And so to get more out of that, when you've read your passage for the day, find someone that you can talk about it with, because they, I guarantee, will think of different questions than you might have, because they're looking at it from a different point of view. And if you can, this one might take some work. If you have a friend, maybe at work or at school, who is not a believer, see if they'll do it with you. Because someone who is not a Christian will think of different things than you will. The things that we have come to just accept, like, well, it makes sense because it's in the Bible, they will challenge because it's weird for them. And you'll find that that will just elevate how much more you get out of the Scripture.
Play that awkward Oscar movie. It probably is going to be up for an Oscar, at least at the beginning here. I believe that there are people in this church that are are probably out on an island right now. And maybe it's yourself, but just be aware, be conscious that some people are going through some things, and we should be in prayer for each other. And at the same time, you can do that even when you're on the island yourself. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." We humans fall into a lot of our pitfalls, right? We talked about those buzzwords earlier. And yet they say the thing to try when all else fails is again, right? We should be a part of that effort. We struggle all the time, but we don't always look at each other to find that help. I struggled with this message initially, and I thought afterwards, I was like, oh yeah, I got Lincoln. That's all right. Got the whole message right in front of me as I'm doing this. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how we spur one another on toward love and good deeds." A little bit more interaction here. I am going to need your help on this. I'm not looking for like you to Google answers here, just off the top of your head. When I ask this question, somebody give me an answer, what you think. I'm not going to say if you're wrong or right, because I didn't research myself. Which animal is the tallest? Giraffe, all right. Which animal is the biggest? Elephant, whale. Which animal is the wisest? Owl, okay. Which animal is the fastest? Cheetah. Nice job, Elijah. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. You named all those animals, right? And which animal's the king? The lion. Yeah. Not at all any of the fastest, the wisest, none of those other animals, but the king is the lion. Why do they say the lion is the king? Because of the movie. Yeah. That's a good point. Why else? Because of his mane. Okay, yeah, it kind of looks like a king's crown. Because they eat other animals. Think about Wizard of Oz. What? Courage. That's what I was looking for. Animals are courageous, right? They're bold. They're risk takers. They don't back down. They might not be the biggest, but they think they are. And they'll go after whatever they need. Maybe it's something they can't take down. They're wise about it. They don't go after that. But they're the king of the jungle. All we need is courage. It's a new year. We've talked about this for the past couple weeks, that there's always so much that we can improve on. But at this point, I think we just want to make this year plan to make it a better you, a better family Bible, a better whatever it is. Maybe it's something little, maybe it's something big, but something better. And we have a lot of things we can improve on. There's a lot of opportunities, I guess I should say. So there's a couple of things that we can talk about that we've already brought up today. This environment team, brand new, right? We talked about you want to be on this environment team, just let us know. You think there's something cool that we can do on that board? There's some signs in the back. Why are they there? They could be over here. Where's the cross at? I don't like the paint, the lights. We could put some blinds up. You guys have some ideas? Oh, we could tint those windows, maybe put our Family Bible logo. There's no logo outside. There's a whole bunch of things that we could do with this building. Have you been back in nursery? There's no shelves back there. We could have a little bit better storage. Have you been in Blast? Not a lot of room. But there's definitely room for improvement. Where's the sign for restrooms? I think that's up somewhere. There's a lot of things that can be done, right? We have this space 7 days a week now, which is wild. We still don't even recognize it. But there's a lot of things that we can do. Speaking of Blast and nursery, we could always use helpers. Anybody good with kids? You don't want to raise your hand because I'm the nursery guy, so I'm coming after you after church. What about Blast? We've got like two months left. Did you know that the nursery help today didn't show up? Do you know that nursery's covered today? Do you know that the Blast helpers didn't show up today? Nursery and Blast are both covered today. Do you know that the greeter wasn't here today? Do you know that you got greeted at the door today? Pretty cool. A lot of people step up. It's awesome. It's not just that. We have VBS coming up. We're teaming up with another church. Talk about teamwork. We're teaming up with another church, First Baptist Church in Highland. We have two helpers right now. We'd love to have more. If you guys want to do that, come see me. What else? We have the prison ministry. Who's a part of the prison ministry? I shouldn't raise my hand because I haven't really helped out about that. But we can write cards all the time. There's so many things in that green sheet that maybe you don't pay attention to a lot of the times, but we have so much going on. There's things that we just come up, we hear from somebody, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? Yeah, it would. Let's do it. We can do that. Please bring those to our attention. Write them on the cards. Throw them in the drawer box. Threw that in there. You can just say that to anybody in the church. I'm sure it'll get to some ears that can maybe help you make that run. We just had a baby in the church, right? Aunt, uncle. And yeah, we've got grandparents back there. A new baby. There's a, what do we call that? The meal ministry? Is that what it's called? So new mothers get meals. So if you want it for people to make meals and bring those to your house for like a week or two, you can do that. So there's a plug to get pregnant. No? My brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they're waiting. There's a lot. There's a lot we can do. And we have so many people in this place that are willing to do it. We don't have a lot of numbers. This is not St. Paul Church of Highland. This is Family Bible Church. There's, praise God, exactly. There's 80 to 100 people here a week, and that's awesome. And we've got so many things that go on, and not everybody can help. There's the food pantry on Tuesdays. A lot of people work on Tuesdays. But we still have people step up to that constantly. So just be aware that God has a lot of opportunities for us to go through, and you can always be a part of that. Well, I don't think I have anything else. We do have another opportunity for the band to come up here. Someone asked them to do that. It's not always this short, by the way.
Yeah. I'm going to be part of the team here. And I'm not supposed to be up here. I know some of you guys are like, really, Bill, one Sunday? But I just want to add one thing to Chris and Lincoln's awesome message this morning. One a key to teamwork, which is not covered in 1 Corinthians 12, is communication is key. Because on your engagement sheets, if you got one, as we told you, you might want to earlier, I realized that I totally misunderstood the Synergizer Bunny. And so if you take out your engagement sheet, do you have one? Take it out. Hopefully you have a writing utensil in your hand. We're going to take the I out of synergy. We're going to make that a Y. So what's this Synergizer Bunny? Because I don't want you to walk out of here with a card that says, keep on sinning, keep on sinning. Okay? I also wanted to confess it was my mistake. So there you go. We fixed it. Thanks.
Wow. Yeah, thank you. I didn't notice that at all. All right, so as the band comes up, I don't know how many times I've said the word opportunity today, but we have an opportunity to get these guys to put their mouths right on the mics, because as we're singing for what? An audience of how many? Yeah, we're singing for an audience of one. I heard that from this guy. That was pretty cool. Sing loud. Why don't you guys over there make sure that we got the words on the screen? We'll do this together. Amen for sure. Now, before Lincoln brings the benediction, I'm going to pray us out, but I will say, be courageous. If you don't know how to read the words or you drop your Bible during the prayer, just keep on going. For real. Be courageous. That's what God wants you to do. I guarantee it. There's also been plugs here in the last couple weeks for the 365. If you haven't started yet, you can start today. If you're not into marathons, you want to do the half the marathon, and you want to do just the Old Testament, you can figure that out. If you're more into 5Ks, and you just want to read a book a month, whatever it is, you could do that. But remember, iron sharpens iron, so if we're doing that together, we can grow this year, right? Mm-hmm. And then last thing before I pray it out, on that engagement sheet, make sure you turn that into the joy box. That's number three. The most important check box that you can check is to be following Jesus, or to get baptized. I guess those are kind of the same. But check those if you haven't yet already. We'd love to have you on our team. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the moment that we have right now. We thank you for bringing the message today and just being here together as a family. We ask that you will take this into the world that we go in throughout this week, and that we'll be back here celebrating your name, worshiping you again next week. Father, we pray for those things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And the benediction for everyone comes from Colossians chapter 1. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church.